You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class for a Thursday here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Big show coming up today. We got a good one for you. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, will join us as the full field season on the PGA Tour is underway with the Sony Open going on at Wailea Country Club in Honolulu, and that includes Zach Johnson. Get you updated on that coming up here in just a little bit. Also, it's Thursday. That means it's time for Off the Glass. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us as we talk college basketball on the program. We'll do that coming up at about 3:35 here today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Scott Unash. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark from his home on the southwest side. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview that will be sure to thrill hundreds and thousands out there. We'll do that before 4 o'clock coming up today. Thanks for joining us on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as KGYM Radio Stream. Mobile app from KGYM. Download that. Put that on your phone or the smart speaker out there. As I mentioned, we're going to talk to Bob Herrig coming up here in just a little bit. We would be getting ready to talk about Iowa and Michigan State. That is not going to happen, as that game yesterday was postponed, and now we've got all sorts of movement going on, and you got to know, you got to have a program. Buttons and I were talking about this. Mark, good afternoon, by the way.
Good afternoon, guys.
We were talking about this, that you got to have a roadmap and, you know, a program to keep up with everything. And I told Buttons, I go, you know what? One of these times, I'm going to either forget something, something's going to slip under the rug, or something's going to be missed. And sure enough, we did that earlier today. I did not communicate to Buttons. It was my fault. Our boys game tomorrow night on 107.5 FM was originally going to be City High at Xavier. That is postponed. So now it will be Waterloo West at Prairie. So we will make that adjustment on our schedule at KGYMradio.com. You can always go to see that and more. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. We got NBA basketball coming up tonight, though, for you, as it'll be Miami and Philadelphia going at it this evening. All of our frequencies will have that for you at 6 o'clock this evening. But there will not be Iowa, Michigan State coming up tonight, Mark.
Nope. There are problems in the Michigan State program, originally two. And now, last I looked, three positive cases, and mutually agreed to call off tonight's game. Wise thing to do, I'm sure. I'm not surprised at anything anymore, Scott, and I don't think you are either. So this game will have to be rescheduled at some point. Apparently, there's not many holes in either schedule, so that will take some creativity. And now today, Iowa's game against Northwestern, originally scheduled Monday, yesterday moved to 8 o'clock on Sunday. Now is an 11 o'clock start on CBS with Ian Eagle and Bill Raftery.
Send it in!
And onions, baby. And that leads into the Chiefs and Browns. I mean, that's going to be a fun afternoon. But that resulted because Indiana and Michigan State was supposed to be on CBS, and that game's been postponed now as well. One more piece of news. The Northern Iowa Drake game has been rescheduled for February 10th.
Yep, February 10th. The bottom line is you're going to end up either with canceled games, or you're going to have some college teams and a lot of them playing NBA schedules in February, which, who knows, maybe I don't know. In this wacky year, I don't even want to take a stab if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. They'll try to get in as many games as they possibly can, everybody. And like we said before the Big Ten season started, We talked about what was going to take to win the Big Ten. We both said 16-4, I think, maybe 15-5 in there, in that area. And we both said if we get 20 in, and I don't even think there's going to be 20 in for each team. So, yeah, we'll find out, I guess, and do our best. They will do their best and try to get in as many games as possible.
Yeah, and we're going to ask Kevin Lehman about this because there's some ideas being floated around out there about how wise is it going to be to have conference tournaments. I mean, all of them are at one site, best I know. But how wise is that going to be to hold conference tournaments if you're, you know, losing games during the regular season? I don't know. I'd like to see, you know, the Big Ten get through the 20-game season. But, you know, I'd say it's maybe iffy right now.
Well, the Power Five leagues at least are at one location. There are a lot of smaller conferences and mid-majors that play around at campus sites and then go to the one specific area for semifinals and finals or just the finals or they play at camp. I mean, you're right. It's going to be a little bit unusual. There's no doubt about that. But it's going to come down to this, and you know it as well as I know it, and Buttons knows it as well. It's going to come down to you cancel, say, the Big Ten or the Big 12 or both the conference tournaments, and you're talking about millions upon millions of dollars at a time that these athletic departments cannot afford to lose millions upon millions upon millions of dollars.
Well, that's true. We've got 2 months to get to that finish line and starting point for conference tournaments. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, just have to see how it plays out. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That is also the phone line as well. Same number, 319-366-1600. We've got golf. We're going to talk golf. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, has the official start to the season today and tonight, Mark. Primetime golf, and makes things a lot easier without an Iowa-Michigan State game tonight to watch. But they're underway at Wylie, and that includes our guest from last Friday, Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson, who is on the golf course right now in beautiful Honolulu.
He is indeed. Half the field has not even teed off yet. Of course, there's a four-hour time difference, so you can understand that. Zach got off to a pretty good start, two under par through seven holes, but ran into a rough patch, bogeyed three out of four, and currently plus one through 12 holes. So obviously has six holes left, playing the back nine first, so he's on the front nine, and he's got to get moving a little bit. The leader right now is at 7 under par, Peter Malnati, through 16 holes.
Yeah, and we'll see. Pretty good field at Wylie. And a golf course that was toughened several years ago, and it's a par 70, only a couple par 5. So you're not going to see 25 under par win this one. It usually goes in the mid to high teens right in there, depending if the wind blows a little bit at Wylie. It's right there on the ocean. One basic hole on the ocean, that's it. So, yeah, if it does blow, though, it's a pretty tough golf course. But the two par fives are pushovers, so you can get eagles.
Yeah, they are, and that's one of the holes Zach bogeyed the 18th hole. It's only a 514-yard hole, but he's had trouble with his driver today. Only hit a third of his fairway so far, and on that hole, he knocked one in the rough, knocked one in the bunker, and kind of made a mess of that hole. But, yeah, 9 and 18 are the only par 5s, and they're not very difficult.
Not very difficult indeed. So we'll keep you updated on Zach's finish today at Wylie, the first round of the Sony Open in Hawaii. 319-366-1600. There is some football news out there. It has not been confirmed as of yet, but Urban Meyer is on the ground in Jacksonville, and there are reports out there that he is very close to being named the brand new coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we'll see if that plays out. Jacksonville has a little bit of talent, but there's still a long way to go. apologies to Gardner Minshew fans out there, but Jacksonville really doesn't have a quarterback at this point, and there's a lot of work to be done in Jacksonville, but it sounds like they're going to back up the Brinks truck and pay Urban Meyer to come in and try to fix this thing.
Yeah, and Urban will presumably inherit Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, who is the presumed number one overall draft pick, and that's going to Jacksonville. So I don't think that Meyer would pass on Lawrence for Justin Fields, who he's familiar with. That would be kind of wouldn't be smart. Let's put it that way. But I'm surprised Urban Meyer, if he does go to the NFL, I'd be surprised at that move. He hasn't coached for a couple, 3 years, and pro football is an entirely different animal than the college game.
Yeah, indeed. So that's some football news, some baseball news. Theo Epstein has a brand new gig. Did not take long. He is going to be working for Major League Baseball as the former Red Sox and Cub executive is going to be. He is going to advise the commissioner and MLB's competition committee. He's going to be an on-field consultant. On-field matter consultant, whatever that means. But I bet there's a big salary that goes with it.
Yeah, I'm sure it pays very well. And Theo Epstein, a bright guy, having turned around the Red Sox and the Cubs. And I'm sure he'll have some kind of impact with Rob Manfred. And a lot of folks out there believe he needs to be impacted.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he's going to try to improve the game on the field or the on-field experience. He's already come out and said that baseball has a lot of good athletes and we have lost showing these athletes off and there needs to be more action. Now, he's not the first one to say that, will not be the last one to say that, and how he goes about this, that remains to be seen, but you just can't snap your fingers and there's action on a baseball field. Right. That's part of the beauty of baseball a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, we shall see. Maybe those stars out there like Trout and Betts and so many others, they're not branded like the NBA does with its stars. So we'll see.
Yeah, and look what happened yesterday when one of the big stars in the NBA got traded. My goodness gracious. When James Harden went to Brooklyn, big story, big news out there. No doubt about that. And you just, a lot of people couldn't probably point out Mike Trout out of a crowd of people.
That's sad.
Yeah, and that's kind of what baseball is facing right now. So 17 past 3, we're going to take a break, come back. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, will join us, and we'll preview the 2021 PGA season, talk a little bit about Zach Johnson, talk a little bit about the majors, etc. when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM, and I've got the perfect way for you to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called a same-game parlay bet, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the divisional round this weekend. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect your parlay. That's right, you can place a 3-plus same-game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. The playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of many ways to win on FanDuel. If you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started and use my promo code KUHN at the sign-up. That's promo code KUHN at the sign-up. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station. What does your small business want from a healthcare plan in these changing times? You want employees to have access to the largest network of doctors. You want flexible plans to fit your needs and your budget. But mostly, you want peace of mind, knowing your employees and company will be taken care of. It's why 8 out of 10 small businesses choose Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. See how we can help you take control. Find your best plan at wellmark.com/business.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Welcome back to the gym class here at KGYM on this Thursday edition of the show. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And as you just heard, you can tune in each Friday at 5 o'clock for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire. Lender Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Find out more at KGYMradio.com. We mentioned the first round of the Sony Open in Hawaii underway, which is music to our ears for Mark and myself, as well as golf fans everywhere here in the chilly Midwest as we are under a winter weather advisory here, a blizzard warning off to our west. If you're making plans to go to central and western Iowa tonight or tomorrow, I would as you probably know, I would advise against it, as it's going to get nasty over there. So as we're watching the snow fly, we can watch birdies fly at Wailea. And with that in mind, our friend Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, kind enough to join us here on a Thursday. And Bob, that's the best thing to do, watch primetime golf as it's snowing outside your window, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There is something about those views from Hawaii and even California as the weeks progress that, you know, kind of puts your mind at ease. And frankly, it's the reason they do it. You know, it's one of the few places where we can play now. And I think it allows for a good part of the country to look to some more hopeful days. So there's usually not too many bad days in Hawaii. So it's kind of cool.
Bob, you posted a lot in the last couple of days about spectators at various tournaments, even Pebble Beach with no amateurs this coming year. And I was struck at, you know, Phoenix, probably one of the most popular events for spectators. And we know what happens on that stadium hole. It's just pure chaos. But tell us what's going on there, maybe what's going to go on at the Masters, what you know about different tournaments.
Yeah, you know, it's really kind of frustrating, I think. You know, here we still are in this predicament where, you know, we just can't have massive amounts of people gathered in one spot because of the coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, basically Hawaii and all of California are very restrictive. And the situation in California is really dire with the case counts and hospitals being full. And so they decided, you know, not only Pebble Beach, which was just announced today, but next week's tournament in Palm Springs, the American Express, which is also a pro-am format, you know, 3 days of pros playing with amateurs, a lot of amateurs, 150-some amateurs at both events. You know, that's a lot of money that these tournaments make off those entry fees. But neither one is going to have the amateurs. And it's basically, you know, they just don't feel it safe. You know, it's that much more testing that has to go on. It's that many more people together, that many more people you have to house and feed. And the tour is determined to get these tournaments played and stay on pace after missing 13 weeks last year. So it's really unfortunate. Now, the one outlier, as you noted, was Phoenix, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which is played at TPC Scottsdale and typically has the biggest crowds of any tournament. I mean, they have usually two of the days per week, they have more than 100,000 people out there. And a bad day for them is like 50,000. So for them to only have five, you know, and they were originally going to try to have eight, and I think they've been a bit spooked by their own COVID numbers in Arizona. So, you know, look, I don't know what the right answer is on this. You know, I could argue that we're playing golf outside. You know, we're not indoors like, you know, other sports where it's dangerous. But the other side of it is how do you keep people apart? You know, how do you keep people away from the ropes around the 18th green? You know, they're all requiring masks, but how enforceable is that? So, and then as to your question about the Masters, they've said that they will have limited spectators, but they haven't said how many, and I don't know that they'll tell us. I think we're just going to have to eyeball that. My guess is it's going to be very, very small number. You know, guests of members, you know, they weren't allowed to have any guests in November, and nor were the players other than their spouse and their coach. They might expand that a little bit so that, you know, possibly brings in 1,500 to 2,000 people. And then, you know, maybe some of their best corporate people. You know, I just don't see, like, the great masses of people being allowed to attend. And that, you know, obviously that stinks. It's, you know, we're all wanting to get past this and get back to normal. But in terms of golf, it looks like, you know, I think in March when they come to Florida, I live in Florida, we're not quite as restrictive. I think you'll see some fans at these events, not a lot, but you'll see some. But we're really probably looking more, you know, second half of the year in June, July before we're going to see any decent numbers.
Yeah. It is the first full field event of the 2021 portion of the season, but the season got underway, the wraparound, of course, back in September. It's been very interesting so far. You've seen a little bit of everything. The resurgence maybe of a Sergio Garcia. Stuart Cenk at age mid-40s coming back and winning the Safeway. You've seen Dustin, of course, win at the Masters, and Victor Hovland getting his win out of the way. And it was a very interesting fall, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Stuart Cenk. I mean, we had a couple of guys, Stuart Cenk, Martin Laird, Brian Gay, you know, all in their 40s and hadn't won for several years, at least 5-6 years. Stuart Cenk hadn't won since he won the British Open in 2009. So, you know, you're talking about, what's that, 11 years plus for him. And you know, we just saw it extended there at the Tournament of Champions where Harris English won for the first time since 2013. So you've got that angle, and then you mentioned Victor Hovland, who obviously is a very strong, young, up-and-coming player. Dustin Johnson, though, is the guy, I think. You know, I mean, he solidified his spot at number one, winning the Masters. I wouldn't be surprised if he's right there again in a couple of months to win it in April. And he had a heck of a run there at the end of 2020. And I think he sort of pronounced himself as a really strong number one. You know, he's kind of separated a little bit after they traded that there for a while.
Bob, this time of year, including Scott and myself, we've got fantasy golf drafts this coming weekend. We're always looking for those breakout players. And I don't know how good your crystal ball is, but you fill us in on a couple, perhaps, breakout players the rest of this campaign?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a couple of young guys who I think have some potential. You know, a guy like Will Zalatoris, who isn't even technically a full-time PGA Tour member, but he's got temporary membership because of how well he played. You know, he's just a couple of, you know, decent events away from being able to lock up his card for not only the rest of this season, but next year as well. And so I kind of like a guy like that. He's not really on people's radar. I mean, obviously, Matthew Wolf is going to be talked about now. Young guy, who's just, you know, barely, what, 18 months out of college. And Joaquin Niemann, who lost in the playoff the other day, great young player who's already won on tour. I kind of like guys like that. Scottie Scheffler, who you had a very, very nice, 2020, a rookie of the year. Unfortunately, had to miss the U.S. Open because of COVID. He might have been a guy that you've been talking about there, frankly. There's a couple of names there, and there's likely to be a few others who jump up. And Will Zalatoris, who I had mentioned earlier, is, knocking on the door of the top 60 already. He didn't have any tour status at the beginning of last year. Actually, he was playing on the other tour, the developmental tour, and the Korn Ferry, and had decent success out there. But then all of a sudden, had a couple of good PGA Tour events. He tied for six at the U.S. Open, I believe it was, he was 650th in the world or something starting the year last year. Now here he is, if he has any success here early, he's going to be in the top 50 and get himself in the Masters and, the World Golf event. So it's a pretty impressive run for him.
Talking with Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, here in the Gym Class on KGYM. And we talked to our friend Zach Johnson last Friday as he was getting ready to go to Sony and go out to Honolulu. Zach, feeling very confident about his 2021. He told us all last year that he was very, very close. Not a great round today to start off his 2021, but he thinks he's right there and can contend and win again this year.
Yeah, I think Zach has maintained a good attitude, during some down times here, he was close. I remember at the PGA Championship, he shot a good opening round, and then he missed the cut. He just kind of just couldn't, got wayward in the second round and ended up missing the cut, and actually hasn't missed a cut since. Now I don't know that he's really, really contended strongly in the back nine of any event, but the last one he played, the RSM, he tied for six. He had a top 10 at the U.S. Open. It's not been great, but it's not been awful. And I think the fact that he feels good about it is a good sign. I just think it's a matter of putting a good tournament together, putting four good ones together. He's clearly been just sort of lacking that one round that might put him over the top. But I don't get the sense that Zach, feels like he can't get it done, and it's a good sign that he feels he's headed in the right direction.
Bob, as you know, it wouldn't be a golf segment if we didn't talk about Tiger Woods. How relevant do you expect Tiger to be this year?
Yeah, it's a great question. A year ago this time, we were sitting here talking about it was a matter of when, not if, he was going to break Sam Snead's record. He'd come off such a great fall in 2019, won in Japan, he was fourth at the Hero, great President Cup, even tied for ninth at Torrey Pines in his first start. And then it just all, caved. He had a bad tournament at Riviera, back problems, withdrew from a few tournaments. Then we had the COVID shutdown. And Tiger never really got it together after that. And I don't know if there were some, COVID issues that he was concerned about. Certainly there were some times where his back was bothering him, and that was pretty obvious. Like he'd have a day here or there where he just didn't quite have it. So was he having a lot of that in between tournaments and not able to work on his game? He's never really all that forthcoming about that stuff, and so it's really hard to say. Just watching, though, you can tell sometimes he looks rusty. Even at the father-son thing last month, I actually went over there for that. And, it's not a serious tournament. He's out there playing with his son. But, there's several times where, seriously, Tiger has has a wedge in and he's hitting from the same spot as Charlie, and Charlie hits it closer. You know, I mean, and that to me, again, shows that Tiger has not put in the time on his short iron play. You know, and that's the thing that you have to get dialed in, because it's not always going to be a full swing. You know, when you're from 90 yards to 130 yards, it might be the same sand wedge that he's hitting. You've got to really dial that in. And I think Tiger has a hard time doing that, because I think putting in the time with those shorter clubs is problematic for his back. You know, there's only so many that he can hit. He's not going to hit 1,000 of them. And, you know, he needs to get that figured out. I think he was driving the ball well enough to be okay. And Tiger, at this point in his career, is a mediocre putter. He needs to have the hot putting weeks. You know, he's not a great putter anymore. And so, and he'll have them, you know, they all do. He'll have some hot putting weeks. If he can marry that up with some good ball striking, which we still, you know, he's still one of the elite iron players, mid to long iron players in the game. So I think it's all, again, what we've been talking about before. Can he stay healthy? Can he work on it? And, you know, how many tournaments is he able to actually play so he can get competitive?
Hey, before we let you go here, Bob, and thank you very much for joining us. It's a very interesting year as far as the majors are concerned this year. Starting things off, knock on wood, with the PGA at Kiawah, and then the Torrey Pines. And who can, you know, we can't forget the last time the U.S. Open was at Torrey Pines with Tiger doing what he did. But that'll be the second time this year at Torrey. They're still going to play the tournament there in early February, late July, right in there. And then I think Royal St. George's for the Open Championship, right, which we missed last year. So a very unique year in the majors.
Yeah, you know, those are some diverse golf courses there, you know. Obviously an Oceanside, California golf course with, you know, kind of bumpy greens, but almost guaranteed to have perfect weather. You know, it just doesn't rain much in San Diego in June. And a very stout golf course, too. And you know, Kiawah is on the other coast, you know, on the ocean, but it's dunes. You know, it's not a lynx, but it's lynx-like. It's very daunting. It can be. And Rory won there in 2012. That was his first PGA. So, you know, a completely different golf course from Torrey Pines. And then, of course, the Open is, they're played on links, which is unlike anything else anywhere. The Royal St. George's is probably the quirkiest of the 10 that are in the rotation. It's very, very, you know, I think a lot of players would say it's really hard to wrap your arms around the idea of hitting a perfect shot in the fairway and having you hit a mound and bounce directly to the right. You guys really have to do their homework, because there's some spots where you just have to lay back, you know, and not risk that. Even though it might be wide open and there might not be any trouble, that mounding is so severe. And it's a very... I would say it's probably not on too many people's favorites list of the Open venues, but it's produced some really good tournaments. I mean, that's where Darren Clark won in 2011, I mean, 10 years ago now. Phil was in the mix for that. You know, the one before that was Ben Curtis, and Thomas Bjorn blew a great chance. Tiger and Vijay Singh were right there with a chance. You know, so Greg Norman's won an Open there, Sandy Lyle, you know, it's produced some very, very good tournaments.
Really has. And, Bob, always good stuff. We could probably talk 3 more hours of golf, and, we will down the line here, but, 2021 is underway, and, we look forward to talking with you, through the year, and, always appreciate it, and keep up the great work there at ESPN.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bob Herrick, senior golf writer, ESPN.com. Read his stuff there at ESPN.com. Does a great job. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to shift from golf to college basketball as we will talk to the coach, Kevin Lehman, off the glass, coming up next on KGYM.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. But there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's a boys' NBC matchup this Friday night on KGYN. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join Brad Jones and me Friday at 7:15 on 107.5 FM, the KGYM radio app and stream, as Waterloo West takes on Prairie. The Wahawks come in red hot, winners of four straight, and meet a Hawk team looking for a home bounce-back victory. That's boys' NBC basketball, Waterloo West at Prairie, Friday night at 7:15 on 107.5 FM, KGYM.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of nine kids, Chris had to prove himself, and he did. In the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter. And it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
And it is time to talk some basketball, college basketball. The coach, Kevin Lehman, set to join us right now. And it is Off the Glass. It is brought to you by Coldwell Banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman. With over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and the surrounding areas. You can find out more by going online at shootershomes.com. That is shootershomes.com. And as the snow starts, at least on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Button says a very wet snow so far anyway. Be careful out there if you're driving. And nobody, unfortunately, going down to, for many reasons, to Iowa City tonight. Kevin, good afternoon, first of all.
I'm looking out my window watching the snow fall and listening to you guys talk about golf.
Isn't it great?
And you know what else I'm doing, Scott?
What's that?
I'm redoing my schedule for the Valley as all these schedule changes came out today on postponements and rescheduled games. It's going all across the country.
Yeah, and it's affected Iowa now. It's affected Iowa State as well. At least their games that they are participating in or was to participate in anyway. This is the worst it has been, and I think everybody kind of saw this after the holiday break, that if you could get into this part of the season, get over the hump, get everybody kind of back and back to the routine, I think we can see the end. I don't know. Is that over-optimistic thinking?
Well, the way things are going right now, I think it's at the same rate of cancellations and postponements as the football season, which is about 25% to 30%. Now, it's benefited one team in our state. The Drake Bulldogs have gone from a 12 in the net to a 10 in the net and have not played a game. So if they were to cancel the rest of the season, they'd be seeded pretty high come March for March Madness.
See, you and I, Drake was rescheduled. Kevin, have they rescheduled Drake Loyola?
Yes, they have. I'd have to dig it out for you, though, because I just got a slug of them here in the last 15 minutes.
Okay.
It actually is being played. Loyola at Drake on February 13th and on February 14th.
Okay. So, happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Yeah, they just flipped that series where Loyola was supposed to go to Indiana State on that weekend, and that was into Drake on that weekend. So, that has worked out pretty good. And I think it's a little easier in the Valley, guys, because they're doing those back-to-backs scheduling. So, it's not like you have to do two games. It's two games, but it's one weekend. So, it's probably a little smoother in the Valley.
Yeah, and both the Drake UNI games have been rescheduled now. February 10th, that will be in Des Moines, and then February 17th. So those are both midweek Wednesday night games. And, of course, they are traveling partners this year, so that's why they aren't going back-to-back. So if you were wondering about that out there anyway. But let's talk about let's start with Iowa, and no Michigan State-Iowa game coming up tonight. And then the Hawkeyes game against Northwestern has already been moved twice from Monday to Sunday night and now to Sunday early. So CBS can pick that thing up anyway. And this far away, it probably doesn't mess up the preparation. But when you get to within 24 hours and then things start to change as far as game times and whatnot, especially when you're the road team, then it probably would affect you a little bit, I would imagine.
Yeah, we've seen a lot in some other games I've done. You know, that, like in the Valley, at Indiana, excuse me, we just talked about Loyola at Drake. All of a sudden, Loyola is told you're going to go to Indiana State within a 48-hour turnaround. And Indiana State, here's what happens to you sometimes. They thought they were going to have the weekend off. So Greg Lansing put his team through a really hard practice on Friday. He gets a call at 5 o'clock and says, hey, guess what? You're playing Loyola on Sunday. So you have those type of flips. But I was really looking forward to this Michigan State team coming into Carver-Hawkeye because, you know, they've had Iowa's number in the past history. But this is not what we've seen out of Michigan State teams in the past. But now you've got Northwestern guy who our favorite player, Boo Booey. Watch out. If he plays well, the Wildcats are pretty good.
Kevin, Iowa's two most recent games since we talked to you, a big victory at Maryland, a big victory at home against Minnesota. Two different games because in the Maryland game, Iowa's bench accounted for 30-plus points. Played very, very well. And then in the Minnesota game, it was mainly the old standbys. Welcome back, Joe Wieskamp. Jordan Bohannon with a phenomenal game, 14 assists. Do you have 14 assists in your career, Kevin? I don't know.
What's more impressive, no turnovers. 14 assists, no turnovers. I couldn't do that at the North Tides Noon League against Randy Larson.
Who has more shots, you or Randy?
Well, unfortunately, we both haven't been able to play for a while because I've got a new hip and he's got some health issues too. It's tough getting old, Scott.
Oh, tell me about it.
Still play golf though. You know, Randy's still one of the best golfers there are for his age group. But, that's the way it's going. But how about Jordan Bohannon? I mean, that kid is on fire. He is in the zone, and if you've ever been in the zone, whether it's golf, basketball, you know, you don't know how you got in it. You don't know what's going to end, but you want to make sure you stay in that moment. He has been tremendous in these last few games shooting the basketball. And like we just mentioned, 14 assists and no turnover in a Big Ten game. That is unheard of.
We've had a few real surprises. Illinois losing at home to Maryland. Maryland has won at Wisconsin, and now they have won at Illinois so far. Can't win at home, but they have won twice at tough places to play. And that puts Illinois now at two losses. And then Michigan beating up on Wisconsin the other day has put the Badgers to two losses. And lo and behold, you got Michigan and Iowa now at the top of the Big Ten.
Well, I was waiting for you guys to replay our segment from last week when I told you Michigan was overrated because they hadn't played anybody yet. They have Wisconsin down by 40. When does that happen to Big Ten? You've got a ranked team, Wisconsin, number 9. They're down by 40 on the road. That is another unheard-of event. This year has been crazy in the basketball world.
Hey, Kevin, I think I read, you know, we talk about Garza and Bohannon and Wieskamp and whatnot. I think I read Tom Izzo in previewing what was going to be the game tonight. Basically saying Connor McCaffrey is the glue on this team. What do you make of that?
Oh, I think he's 100% right. You know, in that game where he got hurt at Rutgers, the bench stepped up big time. But this is a guy, and you got to have all those guys that doesn't need shots to win. And the fact that he can move around different positions has always been a big plus for Fran McCaffrey. And he understands how to get Luka Garza the ball. If you heard comments about Luka Garza. He loves playing with Connor McCaffrey because he said he is the best post eater he's ever seen. And Bohannon's pretty good at that also, guys. So you got to get your big – one of the reasons why Garza has so much success, he gets the ball where he wants it, when he wants it, and it gives him an advantage to finish. And that's got to be kudos to Connor McCaffrey, Bohannon, all those guys who are throwing those passes into him. That's one of the reasons why Bohannon has 14 assists, no turnovers. He's the big guy, Garza.
He catches it. Kevin Lehman joining us here.
And then he scores.
That's the second part of it. At 3:49. We were talking about this on Monday a little bit, and Iowa State just coming off the horrible loss at home against Texas Tech, and not so much the game. Yeah, you don't want to lose that badly at home or just anywhere, but just kind of the feelings and the what was said by the players after that game a little bit. And it wasn't a positive thing after that. Iowa State now 0 for the year as far as the Big 12 is concerned, 0-5 and 2-7. You hope that this team doesn't give up. I don't think Steve Prohm's going to allow them to, but there were some very interesting things said after that game.
He has a real challenge as a coach right now, Scott. And, you know, one of the things Elvin Miller used to tell us after we had whether it was a heartbreaking defeat or you're in a string of losses, when we go on the court, I remember one day he told us, I don't want anything negative said at all to our players. They're going to look for us for leadership. They're looking at how we react. So everything has to be completely positive. He's got to really work on mental attitude of that team. That's one of the most difficult things you have to do as a basketball coach because you're upset at all the mistakes are being made. But you have to keep your team positive. I think that's one of the things I learned in my days of coaching. And when you look at this schedule for Iowa State, you think I go to Allen Fieldhouse, Kansas. Then they got Texas coming back. You know, of course, they just lost at home to Tech, but this is a Texas team that's for real. And then you got to go to Tech. I mean, there's just no games. You look on that list, you think, where can the Cyclones get a win, especially since they have the postponement of this Kansas State game? It's a long way down that roster before that schedule before you think there's a W for the Cyclones.
Kevin, there's some opinions being floated out there recently, especially today, college basketball writers and analysis, wondering about the wisdom of holding conference tournaments. What say you?
So here's I think that's going to be a great debate. It's going to be a lot like we've seen in the football, whether it's the bowl games, the playoffs. So let's say you're 10-10 in the Big Ten if you got all 20 games in. Why would you play in a conference tournament? Because you probably punched your ticket to the NCAA tournament. Why would you expose your players to possibly being infected? So are we going to have a Big Ten tournament that's going to have Penn State and Nebraska in the championship game and the winner gets to go to the NCAA tournament? I got to think your league's going to step in this situation, Mark, much like they did in football, and they say, you're all going to play or nobody's going to play because you can't be fragmented in this situation. And I think it's even more interesting in the mid-majors because, say, a Valley who has a chance to get two bids, say Drake does not win their Valley Conference tournament. What do those leagues do? And on top of all this, guys, TV money, TV revenue. Do we need to play conference tournaments to bring in that TV contract money to support these programs? Because we know everyone's financially strapped right now. That's the other part of it. So I think we're going to have to see as we get closer how this thing works itself out.
Yeah, and I'm not sure there's a right answer out there for this, but it remains to be seen, and there's going to be a lot of talk over the next 5 or 6 weeks or so getting ready for conference tournaments here. Before we let you go, I think you got Loyola and the Panthers this weekend. Is that correct up in Chicago?
Doubleheader. So that's the one nice thing. This is the first time I've got only one prep and two games. So, yes, we have them ESPN2. I believe it's a 5 o'clock Saturday. And then Sunday we're on the Worldwide Leader. We're on the Mothership.
Nice.
At 4 o'clock. Yeah, looking forward to it. And these Panthers, you know, they lost a tough one at Bradley, but the freshman he's got in the backcourt, Bowen Bourne and Nate Heidi, they're kind of becoming of age right now. They're playing better because at some point in the season, you're no longer a freshman. I think they're starting to reach that, and Fife has really come on strong for them lately.
Yes. Won't be able to see Sister Jean, though, so that's going to be the bad part about going to Loyola.
She still gives the team prayer. You got time for a little story on her?
Yeah.
I ran into Clayton Custer at Indiana State this weekend in the lobby, and I was asking about Sister Jean. He just came back from Poland, MVP for the league about 2 years ago on that Final Four team. And now he's a GA for Loyola. And I asked about Sister Jean. I said, I understand she's giving the team prayer prior to the game via a Zoom. He goes, well, we had to cut that out because sometimes you got a little too carried away with the scouting reports. So now we edit it and play it to the players so it's only a minute long and not 5 minutes long.
Sister Jean still being Sister Jean. That's great to hear in 2021. No doubt about that. All right, Kevin, safe travels to the Windy City, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. You have a good one. Stay safe.
All right. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here on the gym class on KGYM. 3:54 mark. Let's get to a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. And our Bowling Night in America wrap-up is brought to you proudly by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. And they are the home of Bowling Night in America. Thanks to Tom and everybody, the entire staff, keeping us safe. They do a fantastic job over there. And it was a banner night last night for the Rusty Nails.
Epic bounce back for the Rusty Nails after a couple rough weeks. Winning 27-3. Very impressive. 3 600s for our guys, including our own Scott Unash. Way to go, Scott.
Thank you.
But it was a much needed big victory for us. As far as leaders on the night, 278 was the high game by Chase Donner and Tristan Gardeman. And our friend Joel Donner, 766, led the way with high series.
Very nice. Very nice. So, we need to just do that 4 or 5 more times in a row.
That's all.
That's all. And we will be ready to go and bouncing back there. Yeah, fun night last night. And I do have open bowling available. Probably best to give them a call prior to going out there, but they do have open bowling.
Yeah, do so. Give them a call ahead of time, 362-0136, and get any information, including about the pro shop and plenty of information on the website as well. MayCityBowlCR.com.
There you go, indeed. Zach Johnson, real quick, can we get an update on the first round?
Yes, plus one through. He's got 3 holes remaining, just made a bogey. He's plus one on the day. Got that easy par 5 ninth. So hopefully he can get it back to at least even, if not under par.
Yeah, I hope so. And coming up tomorrow on the show, Lisa Bluter, Iowa women's basketball coach, joins us. Tough one for the ladies yesterday. The long 40-plus game winning streak at Carver comes to an end as Ohio State wins it in overtime. It was a fun game, though. That was just a fun game to watch.
Very fun game, but I know Lisa and the players feel like they gave one away in the second half when Hawkeyes really were in command for much of that game.
They were. And tell you what, I know Kevin mentioned Texas Tech from last night. We had that for you here on the radio and listened to it on the way home, and man alive, and caught the ending of it as well. That may have been one of the top 3 games of the year so far in college basketball, as Tech got the victory in Austin last night.
Yeah, and Texas had beaten Kansas at Kansas, and Tech playing at a very high level right now.
They are very high level after that big win against Iowa State at Hilton over the weekend. So we'll talk with Lisa Bluter coming up tomorrow, and a look ahead at the NFL playoffs coming up tomorrow as well on the program. Mark, stay safe. Everybody out there, stay safe as the wet snow is coming down.
Yeah, stay tuned here for any updates.
There you go. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. NBA basketball coming up tonight beginning at 6 o'clock. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And